She knew Cullen. Working with him on this would be impossible, and she wasn't about to quit and turn it over to him or anyone else. As the door closed behind Chelsea, Cassie lifted her gaze from where she'd been concentrating on a chip in the polish on her nail. As advanced as technology had become, one would think nail polish wouldn't chip, especially professionally applied polish. Her gaze locked with Rule's concerned one, and she knew what worried him. It was the same thing worrying her now.
"I had no warning of the attack on her," she told them, though she knew they were aware of that. "She shouldn't have been attacked."
It made no sense. There was no reason Chelsea should have been in any danger whatsoever. There was nothing there to tell her why Chelsea had been attacked, or to lead her in the right direction. All Cassie could see was the shadow of a coyote, ragged, worn, watching her from the periphery. That coyote had been a steady companion for years now.
"Do you think it has anything to do with her rescue of the Cervez daughter? Those coyotes, as well as the Cervezes, have been hunting for the girl that rescued her,"
Rule pointed out, his hard expression concerned.
"That's definitely not it," Cassie assured them.
It was one of the few things she was actually certain of.
"Samara and her family are back in New Mexico. They took their daughter there for burial. Samara's determined to learn Chelsea's identity, but her reasons aren't clear. As for the three coyotes..."
She grimaced with the memory of the terror they'd inflicted on a child.
"Samara Cervez is damned intelligent. She had the doctors at the estate swap for DNA as they tried to close the bite marks on her daughter's body."
She covered her lips, her hand shaking as she turned away from the brothers and fought to hide her own emotions and the sickening horror of what that baby had suffered. When she turned back, she could at least speak.
"Samara turned those swabs over to Jonas and told him if he could prove he had the breeds responsible for her death, as well as the young woman that returned Louisa, then they'd align with the breed underground and begin legitimizing their operations. He took them up on it."
"Not because he believes them," Law snorted. "Still, keeping them from aligning with the council is what matters."
"No. Jonas believed the cartel leaders. It had been in his eyes, in his stark expression, when Cassie had accompanied him to see what those animals had done to Samara's child."
"Samara loved her daughter, Law," Cassie stated, absolutely certain of that. "I met with her when Jonas was called in. She was inconsolable, broken, and so desperate to get her hands on those coyotes, she would have promised anything. And because of her child, she'll never break that vow. But I have no doubt the Cervez cartel will never align with the council, whether Jonas agreed or not. As for Chelsea, I think Samara wants the girl who rescued her daughter so she can express her gratitude, though, not to harm her."
Samara Cervez wasn't the woman she had been before the night her daughter was taken from her bedroom and brutalized by the three coyotes. The Blood Queen wasn't dead, but the blood she wanted had nothing to do with criminal activities now. She wanted the Genetics Council. Not just their soldiers, but the council itself. And Cassie knew she'd be unstoppable.
"Graham has three breeds trailing Chelsea, and the wolf breeds we assigned her."
Rule pushed his fingers through his hair, his expression tightening in irritation.
"We have no idea what designation they are, or who they are. We haven't been able to identify them."
"Draeger and Tobias have sensed them," she nodded. "They've tried to draw them in close enough to scent them, but they've not exactly been cooperative."
She stared down at her fingers,
smoothing one finger over the chipped polish again.
I believe one of them is female, but I have no confirmation.
And no matter how hard she tried, she couldn't sense the answers to her questions.
The attack outside the club was a singular attack, and Drager and Tobias got to her in time, Law pointed out. According to their reports, she was holding her own, though. She's well-trained, and knows how to watch out for herself.
And all that was true, but Cassie couldn't discount Chelsea's grandfather's words, either. She was in danger because she was too stubborn to accept help. Too stubborn to accept Cullen's offer? But that offer hadn't been an offer of help. Cullen wanted her out of it, period.
Cullen won't let this go.
Cassie breathed out heavily at that inner knowledge.
His recessed genetics are either emerging or going through some transition, but whatever's coming awake inside him is incredibly powerful. More powerful than even Graham suspects, I believe. Possibly even as primal as his brother. Bengal breeds are unknown variables the way it is. Their genetics are far more wild than most other breeds. Cullen is but one of a few that we're aware of, and according to his files, he's the twin to one of the most dangerous breeds we know of. If he's primal as well, and his genetics are becoming active, then his focus on her could be more than just that of a protector.
You think it's mating heat? Rule asked. There was no scent of heat.
No, there was no scent of mating heat, but then mating heat had its anomalies from couple to couple. They couldn't rule it out, and Cassie knew it.
But her scent has changed over the past few weeks, she said thoughtfully. Sometimes she shows signs of the heat, and then they disappear, as though the spark needed hasn't fully awakened his breed side.
She shook her head at the thought.
I'm still trying to figure it out.
So we could have a possible Bengal mating? A recessed primal beginning to emerge?
The concern in Law's voice wasn't misplaced. Primals were highly unpredictable, just as their four-legged cousins were known to be. Secretive, powerful, savage when they erupted, and so mysterious that even the few that had been tested rarely showed reliable readings from one test to the next.
I just don't know yet.
She shook her head, confusion threatening to turn to irritability. Law and Rule exchanged looks, their silent communication not unknown to her.
I'd have them tested for mating, but we learned with Tenor and Cabell that even fully mated, their tests aren't always conclusive.
Rule shook his head. Tenor and Cabell were, for many years, the only Bengal breeds known to exist. Tanner was part of the original feline breed pride that revealed itself to the world, and he'd been the head of breed public relations for more than a decade. His mate was the daughter of a now-deceased general who had worked with the council, trained and killed dozens of breeds, and nearly killed his own daughter as well.
Ask Graham for help, Cassie suggested. I believe he's done extensive research on Bengal genetics. Perhaps he's aware of something we're not, or at least could give us a good guess as to what's going on.
Rule's gaze jerked back to her.
How do you know that?
Cassie shrugged at the question.
Graham actually mentioned it to me at the dinner party the other night.
Now it made sense why he'd mentioned it.
I believe he'll be expecting you to call.
Evidently, like all breeds considered less than sane, Graham was just as manipulating as those she'd been raised among, if not more so, Cassie thought.
I'll contact Graham,
Rule stated, his expression becoming thoughtful, cunning as he stared back at her.
You'll stay on the operation as her handler, and when Cullen comes demanding answers, I'll give him the option of joining her. He can work with her, or we'll find a way to keep him away from her while she's on it.
That could work. Cullen wouldn't want to go against a rule, and he wouldn't want to deal with the pressure rule could put on the covert law enforcement agency.
We'll see how that works out for us. She sighed heavily. Let me know when you've discussed it with him. Once we know his answer, then I'll let Chelsea know the plan.
Rising to her feet, she left the room. The disquiet she could feel moving through her was more bothersome than she wanted to admit. She wasn't used to handling this part of her life without the ghostly images that had aided her for so long. They had been coming more rarely over the past years, replaced by that war-torn coyote that never let her fully see him. If she could stare into the eyes of the image, then she would know the breed he belonged to. She would know then if he was the breed that haunted her nightmares and her fears. The image trailed just behind her, though, shifting if she turned her head, if she tried to see him more fully, always just out of sight. Was he the reason those who had helped her before didn't appear any longer? Was the coyote somehow keeping them away? And if so, why? The haunting presence could cause her to endanger the plan she'd had in place for years, and the delicate rescue operation she was working on. That operation depended on Cullen and Chelsea, as well as Samara Cervez and her husband and brother-in-law. This had to work. It wasn't just her own survival that depended upon the plans she'd been laying in place so covertly over the last years. There were others just as important. And one of them. One of those she was carefully drawing from hiding wasn't just important to her. She was Cassie's only hope of survival. Her only chance at freedom. The operations center of the Western Division of the Bureau of Breed Affairs was as high-tech as it came, and a much larger version of the mobile command Cullen used for the operations he oversaw. Chelsea stood at the digital information table next to the Russian coyote breed female, Ashley, watching as the other woman arranged and rearranged the photo and video files they'd taken over the week. With those files were the written reports of the Bureau agents involved in identifying the breeds they encountered, as well as the rumors and information they'd picked up in the weeks they'd been working the operation.
This breed.
Chelsea pointed to a hard-eyed, scarred breed they'd seen only twice in the 4 weeks she'd been working with them. He hasn't shown up in any of the other files we have. We still haven't uncovered his name or anyone else he associates with. Ashley pulled the digital file to the middle of the interactive table and, with one finger from both delicate hands, enlarged it before tapping it twice. The informational file included with the photo popped up next to it.
No name,
Ashley agreed, her Russian accent emphasizing the somber quality of her voice as she tapped a link included with the information. Instantly, another picture popped up.
Emma and Sharon caught him again meeting with Dane Vanderall when he was in the area last week. It seems he disappeared with Dane as well. He could be part of the South African contingent that often shadows our luscious Mr. Vanderall. His father worries, you know, she added drolly,
repeating the reason they'd heard for the hard-eyed security force that sometimes shadowed Dane. Dane Vanderall was heir to a massive fortune, known as an international playboy as well as a corporate shark. He was one of the breed's greatest supporters, and his father's company contributed heavily to the breed's coffers.
From what I've gathered, Dane and his bodyguard, Rhys, are now in Somalia on business for his father, though. If he's one of the South African breeds, then he'd be with the heir apparent rather than lurking in our desert.
Ashley input that information into the text file. Moving more files into several groupings, Chelsea tapped one that held half a dozen other unidentified breeds, along with pictures of those breeds with several known wolf breeds.
These, I suspect, are part of Lobo Reaver's pack.
Reaver hasn't notified us of any new pack members, but all alphas are amazingly reticent when it comes to identifying any breeds who request anonymity. I'll mark them for facial rec, though, and we'll see if we can't verify it.
There were few packs or prides outside the main four, two wolf breed packs in Colorado, as well as the coyote breeds. The only feline breed pride so far was based in Virginia.
My alpha, Del Rey, has petitioned Director Breaker and the Navajo Nation to allow an official coyote presence in the Window Rock area, Ashley told her. He's considering alphas for the pack. I've sent him the pictures of the coyotes we haven't ID'd yet for verification, though I haven't seen them myself at Citadel.
Citadel was the coyote stronghold overlooking the valley where the major wolf breed pack was based.
There are a lot of breeds in the area who aren't verified, Chelsea murmured.
Unverified meant they weren't registered, and no alpha claimed them. The Bureau didn't request names or designations, only verification that they were part of the packs or pride, and indeed friendlies.
Too many, Ashley agreed. If our information is correct, the Council is using known gathering places of PEC and pride members in the area to gather their own intel.
There were no new packs other than Del Rey's request to begin one, and no new alphas had stepped forward to notify the Bureau of their presence.
I checked with a friend at the Navajo Council, and she has no information of breeds requesting land to settle on either,
Chelsea said, as the door opened and Cassie strolled into the room. Before they can settle in the nation, they have to request permission from the Council and submit DNA to prove their ties to the people.
Wouldn't it be so much nicer if the breeds aligned with the Council would just identify themselves?
Cassie grinned wryly as she stepped to the table.
It would make our job much easier, wouldn't it?
It would at that.
And it would make Chelsea's job easier if one badass recessed Bengal breed wasn't so nosy,
Ashley drawled. Chelsea covered her face in exasperation.
What is his problem? That man is driving me crazy.
Maybe he wants to mate you like all those juicy tabloids are writing about,
Ashley teased with a mock shiver.
Let me know if you become all hysterically horny and start fucking like rabbits. The tabloids pay prime cash for the details, you know.
Lifting one hand, she checked her nails with exaggerated care. And my nails are due a little work. Cassie chuckled at the little Russian's antics. Ashley was simply her favorite breed, period. Even a near miss with death hadn't brought her down from her quirky antics.
He probably wants to turn me into one of those insipid little secretaries he had before me. I was such a disappointment to him, Chelsea scoffed.
Those wide-eyed little debutantes made me want to lobby the nation for stupidity tests before hiring. A low laugh spilled from Ashley's lips.
Yeah, I hear he went through a lot of those before you came around, all vying for a place in the hotshot commander's bed. They didn't last long, I heard.
Working through the pictures, Chelsea frowned at the statement.
The longest was 2 months,
she finally sighed, taking a moment to glance up at them.
They all quit. Most in tears.
Ashley began moving pictures again as well, adding some to Chelsea's piles and using some to make her own.
Jonas Wyatt had the same problem until Marinus Lyons hired his wife, Rachel, as his assistant,
Cassie told them.
Jonas was a goner the second he laid eyes on her.
Maybe Cullen has the same problem with you,
Ashley chimed in, the laughter still filling her voice.
Breed men have such a hard time admitting when they've met their match.
Would it not be simply fitting if all those protective alpha instincts toward you were all caused because he is crazy in love with you?
Chelsea snorted at that one, despite the ache she felt that it wasn't possible.
I rather doubt that's the problem. Cullen's still in love with the wife he lost almost 10 years ago. He became so distant after her death that I rarely saw him until I went to work for the agency.
She met Cassie's incredibly bright blue eyes as the other woman watched her closely.
Breeds can be very difficult and very stubborn, Cassie said softly. But he is a breed, recessed or not. I don't get the sense that Cullen loved his wife as deeply as you suspect, though. Not to say he didn't love her, just not with the depth that a breed can experience.
Chelsea shrugged at that. Abandoning the pictures, she propped her hip against the digital table and crossed her arms beneath her breasts as she glanced between Cassie's and Ashley's somber expressions. Lauren was his first relationship after he was placed within the protection of the breed underground. They married 6 months after his arrival. It was just a few months later that she told him she had a particularly virulent form of cancer. She died just before their second anniversary.
How did he meet her?
Ashley asked, the compassion in her tone thickening her accent. She was Ray Martinez's assistant. Chelsea grimaced. Her Uncle Ray had betrayed her entire family for most of his life, especially his daughter Claire, or Cat, as everyone called her.
She was your cousin as well, was she not?
Ashley asked. Chelsea nodded. Fourth cousin, actually, though we weren't very close. Lauren's father had come from a very well-to-do family, until that family had gone bankrupt and her parents had moved into her grandparents' home. Even then, her father, an attorney, had done quite well for himself, and Lauren had always felt as though she were better than the rest of the family. Her parents had left after Lauren's death, and as far as Chelsea knew, didn't even visit.
A man as strong as Cullen would feel he had failed her, Cassie stated cryptically. And the tabloid stories may be far-fetched, but the bonding between breeds and their mates is well known. Cullen didn't have that bond with his wife, I don't believe.
Lauren wasn't one for bonds, though, Chelsea remembered. Before she died, Lauren blamed everything and everyone in those last months, she remembered. Especially Cullen. Just before she died, she accused him of not loving her enough, that his love could have saved her. Dad was there when she said it. He was shocked by her cruelty. Taryn Martinez had been so shocked by Lauren's accusations that he hadn't even attended her funeral.
She sounds much like Claire's father, Ray, Ashley pointed out.
They were very close, Chelsea shrugged, staring down at the table once again for long moments. Dad once commented that they were very much alike, but Cullen loved her. He was devastated when she died.
No wonder, Cassie sighed heavily. Such guilt to put on any husband, especially a breed.
The looks Chelsea caught Ashley and Cassie exchanging brought a frown to her face, but she refused to ask about it.
But now all his breed instincts are going crazy, because you were attacked,
Ashley pointed out.
That breed is a gunner for you, my friend.
She gave a quick little flip of her hand for emphasis.
Breed males are so weird with it, too. You will see.
No, she wouldn't, Chelsea knew, though she kept that to herself. Cullen had loved Lauren so deeply that no other woman would ever compare. Especially not her. She wasn't super girly, she rarely wore makeup, and she had no idea how to simper and charm.
She didn't want to keep home and hearth while he fought the battles alone. She wanted to fight at his side, at least for a while. She wanted to be his partner, not his secretary. She would have settled for work in command, overseeing each operation with him. She was good at communications and logistics, but he wanted her filing and answering his phones instead. And she had hated every moment of it. Hated it so much that she'd begun resenting him for it. That was when she'd known it was time to leave.
Draeger and Tobias's report of the night Cullen followed you to the clubs included the information that they could smell his anger coming from him in waves, Cassie said.
Chelsea sighed at the description. I think I could smell it, and I'm not even a breed. Oh, trust me, Ashley drawled in amusement. The scent of it rolled off him. That was one jealous breed glaring at every male you spoke to, my friend. She highly doubted the jealous part, but he had made it impossible to do her job. Every breed there kept glancing at him as though asking his permission to speak to me. She rolled her eyes in disgust. Because they could smell his lust covering you like a blanket. Ashley laughed.
They are animals, you forget.
They would not tempt another breed's rage by showing interest in the woman he had so marked. A blush worked over her face at Ashley's teasing comment.
I hate those pesky noses the lot of you possess, she assured them.
Every one of you. Their laughter was good-natured and teasing, but Chelsea caught the thoughtful look on Cassie's face before it was quickly replaced by amusement.
There was something the other two weren't telling her, some secret they all seemed to share where Cullen was concerned. If they believed that deeply that he somehow cared for her as more than a friend, then they were wrong. He'd had 4 years to figure it out if he did. The fact that he hadn't proved her suspicions. Cullen might desire her, definitely wanted to protect her, but he didn't love her. And his lust wasn't enough. Unfortunately, it was all he was willing to give her.
Chapter 7 From Graham's Journal, Recessed Primal Genetics and Mating Heat. Wild and unpredictable, the recessed primal genetics are like the animal itself. Waiting. Stalking. And ready to pounce with deadly force. 4 weeks into the operation to identify any unknown breeds and their target, and still she and her team hadn't been able to narrow the list of possibilities. Cassie, of course, headed the list of targets. The price on her head was highest. Ashley ran a close second. After that, Alpha Reaver, Cullen's brother, the Western Division's director, and the highest-profile breeds in the area brought the list to over a dozen. Until she could find a parameter, a name. Hell, she'd love to find a loose-lipped genetics council puppet willing to spill a few secrets. That was just her favorite scenario. Finding the genetics council breeds or their potential abduction targets wasn't coming easy at all. There were suspected council breeds in the area, but anywhere breeds congregated, there were suspected spies, especially if coyote breeds were among them. Tracking down the source of the information had proven impossible, and actually identifying a council spy and getting him to talk was even more so. Entering the house a week later, Chelsea headed to the shower, hoping to clear her head. If she didn't manage to find the answers soon, Director Breaker would shut her down as quickly as he'd given her the go-ahead on it. The attack the week before hadn't helped matters in the least. Now her team, as well as the director, seemed suspicious that she'd somehow given herself away as she navigated within the underground world of contacts and information, chasing down rumors of breeds. That had been her primary focus in the breed underground.
though she'd been searching for breeds seeking safety rather than spies, she admitted. She'd been part of the breed underground since she was 16 years old, and still worked with them occasionally. Going covert was just about a requirement for the job. She hadn't given herself away. So why had she been targeted that night? And why was it suddenly impossible for her to gain information that she'd been accessing easily in the 10 years prior? She'd begun working with the breed underground just after Cullen's wife, Lauren, had died from the cancerous tumors they'd found in her brain. Cullen had worked with the breed underground only rarely at that point, though if needed, the few breed agents he had were assigned to aid certain breed underground cases. He'd worked one of the cases when she first joined, and she remembered being sent home immediately when she'd arrived at the meeting. When she protested, he told her he didn't think her family needed to lose another of its daughters, especially because of foolish courage. Because he had lost Lauren, he thought it was perfectly okay to shatter her dream of working with him and send her home as though she were a child. Her knowledge that Lauren had only tried to use his love, she had kept to herself. He'd been hurt enough, she'd told herself painfully. No matter how angry she was, she wouldn't hurt him more. Her cousin had always been a bit superior, a little smug. But in the year before her death, she'd become cruel and cutting, seeking to hurt everyone and anyone she could focus on, especially her husband. Unknown to her father, Chelsea had learned Cullen was a breed before he'd ever married Lauren. It had been that first night Cullen had arrived in the nation. She'd overheard them talking as she watched from the darkness in the other room, and her father had called him a breed. A year or so later, she'd been practicing the survival skills she'd been learning when she followed her father one night into the desert. There, he'd met with several Navajo, their faces obscured by shadowed markings. And Cullen.
"I may be recessed, but I'm still a breed," Cullen had stated in reply to her father's doubt that council breeds were in the area searching for someone. "They can't sense me, but I can damn sure sense them."
Chelsea had remained silent, a shadow within a shadow, as her grandfather had been teaching her. When the meeting concluded and her father returned to the house, Chelsea had remained hidden, sensing that perhaps all the men he'd met with hadn't left the area. She remembered the feeling of another presence. Not a danger, but watching, waiting. And someone had been. They'd outwaited her, so still and silent in the night that after 2 hours she was certain she had been wrong. Still, she'd been careful creeping back to the house and into her room. 2 days later, her father and her cousin, Lincoln Martinez, had been waiting when she came home from school, aware of the meeting she'd overheard. And from that day, her cousins had taken over her training. Her father had worried. He still worried. Her grandfather railed at her constantly for putting herself in the slightest danger, while her sister Isabel always remained quiet but concerned. The phone calls and visits she'd received from her family after Cullen learned of the attack just pissed her off. Her grandfather's mutterings that the winds were failing him because he hadn't known of it, her father's angry demands that she stop whatever she was doing, and her sister's quiet concern had gotten on her nerves fast. Stepping from the shower, she quickly dried her body and then her hair before staring into the mirror silently. She was 26 years old, and her family thought she was wasting her life chasing danger. But it wasn't danger she was chasing. She'd never forget the night Cullen and 2 young women had come to her father's house, bloody and bruised after an attack by council soldiers. The girls hadn't been crying. They'd been stoic, their eyes filled with nightmares. And Cullen's eyes had burned with rage, with determination, despite the blood that marred his hair and his clothes. She'd been so angry, furious as she overheard her father and the warriors standing in the shadows discussing the attack of the council's soldiers against the three. Abreed and two young girls he was trying so desperately to protect. The council breeds chasing them were intent on recapturing them, torturing them. And Cullen had stood silently, the two girls huddled behind him, uncertain of the men who had saved them and clearly willing to go to battle again. She'd wanted nothing more than to be at his side and help him. Reaching up, she touched a single tear that drifted from her eyes at the memory. She'd shed a lot of tears as a teenager for Cullen. And she'd trained, worked her ass off just to fight beside him to make certain other breeds were protected. Such fierce determination to survive should have never been threatened in such a way. He didn't want her working by his side, though. He wanted her in the office, away from him. Breathing out heavily, she swiped the nearly dry strands of straight hair back from her face, her gaze critical now. She wasn't nearly as beautiful as Lauren had been. Her shoulder-length black hair wasn't the rich, textured black ribbon that Lauren's had been. Her brown eyes were flecked with hints of green. Her skin was much lighter than Lauren's. She didn't have the dark Navajo bronze skin. Rather, hers was the color of a good suntan, closer to that of her Caucasian mother. She was short, her breasts fuller, and she was rounder than her cousin had been. She wasn't girly, a debutante or fragile, and she'd never wanted to be. At best, she could only claim pretty. Maybe. Damn sure she couldn't claim the man she often wondered if she'd fallen in love with when she was no more than a young girl, staring through the darkness and seeing that fierce will burning in his eyes. It was still there. That determination to survive, to fight, to protect those he took responsibility for. And she still wanted nothing more than to fight by his side. Shaking her head, Chelsea tucked the towel tighter at her breasts and strode into her bedroom, where she came to a hard, shocked stop. As though conjured there by thoughts alone, Cullen stood, leaning in the doorframe between her bedroom and the short hall leading into the living room. Dressed in a short-sleeved khaki shirt, jeans, and boots, arms crossed over his broad chest, his gold-flecked green eyes hooded and brooding, he watched her with silent intensity. Her fingers tightened at the tuck of the towel as her heart fluttered with sudden nerves. "Forget how to knock or call?" she asked as she strode across the bedroom to her dresser. Pulling out drawers, she collected a pair of panties and a bra and tucked them between a pair of yoga pants and a loose gray t-shirt.
"And give you warning that I was coming? You might have left," he told her, his tone querulous.
The sound of his voice had remembered pleasure washing through her senses. Reaching up, she rubbed at the reddened area between her neck and shoulder, her eyes closing with the subtle sensations that shot through her body.
"I would have still been here,"
Chelsea shrugged, turning back to him.
"Give me a minute, and I'll get dressed."
She was not getting involved in one of their irate discussions dressed in only a towel.
"Why?"
He tilted his head to the side, his expression appearing darker somehow, sexier.
"I'll just have to take the clothes back off you soon. Why go to the trouble?"
She almost dropped her clothes. Eyes widening, she stared back at him, unable to believe the words that had just come out of his mouth.
"Why make it easy for you?"
Casting him a narrow-eyed look, she hurried back to the bathroom, dressed, and, for a moment, actually considered texting Drager to see if he and Tobias wanted to play cards for a few hours. Wouldn't that put a crimp in Cullen's little plan?
Asshole.
She didn't need another breed to fight her battles, though, she finally decided. She might have waited far too many years for him to show more interest than it took for him to hand her a file. Returning to the bedroom, Fully dressed, but no less nervous, Chelsea found him in the same position she'd left him in. He hadn't shifted an inch, nor had his expression changed. Smoothing her hands over her hips, she drew in a deep breath and steeled herself for the coming confrontation. She could see the storm brewing in his eyes, feel it brewing in herself.
"I hope you aren't expecting to tear my clothes off anytime soon," she told him sweetly as she stalked across the bedroom to the doorway. "I'd at least like a cup of coffee first."
Brushing past him, she almost let out a silent breath of relief when he caught her arm, drawing her quickly to a stop. Staring up at him, she was caught by the flecks of amber fire in the jungle green as they seemed brightened by the anger that narrowed his gaze.
"Why didn't you tell me what you were doing for the Bureau?"
His lips pulled back from his teeth, and she swore his incisors looked just a little more prominent than she remembered them being.
"Why didn't you come to me first?"
Lifting her eyes, Chelsea stared back at him and forced herself to breathe slowly, evenly. "Would you like a cup of coffee before we begin this argument, or do you just want to start now?" she asked, her lip curling in disgust.
"Because I find it highly distasteful arguing in my bedroom, and I'm sure as hell not doing it while you're holding on to me as though I were a suspect in need of detaining."
His gaze flickered, then dropped to where he was holding her firmly. He released her slowly, almost finger by finger, until she was free.
"Answer my question."
"Not until I've had my coffee,"
she informed him, her voice sharper than she intended.
"Hell, maybe a drink, too. Dealing with you is becoming harder by the day."
Of course, it would help if she didn't allow herself to get drawn into conversations about his former marriage or her own doubts about her ability to measure up to the femininity his deceased wife had once possessed. That was always guaranteed to put her in a bad mood. Add the instant arousal the minute she caught sight of him into the equation, and there probably wasn't enough coffee or alcohol to settle her nerves. Stalking through the dimly lit living room and into the spacious kitchen, Chelsea raked her fingers through her hair and told herself she was not going to become distracted by his touch, or that gleam of lust she'd glimpsed in his eyes as she moved past him. If she didn't keep her wits about her, then Cullen would end up destroying any chance she had of proving herself as a dependable agent. She wasn't going to allow that. Sliding two cups beneath the dual spouts of the coffee maker, she programmed in the strength of the brew and waited the 5 seconds or so it took to fill them. When she turned back to him, she placed his cup on the table before cradling her own and leaning against the counter. And if he started toward her as he had the last time he was in her kitchen, then she was going to run. She was not letting him touch her. For some reason, his touch just fried her brain synapses. The fact that they were facing off in the kitchen once more wasn't lost on her, though. The irony of it was really kind of amusing. Every discussion her family had ever had that was of any importance had taken place in a kitchen over coffee or alcoholic drinks. Hell, it was here where she'd met with Ashley and Cassie just after her contact, an employee for a desert tourist guide business, had called her and given her a lead on the Genetics Council's upcoming plans. A week after she'd resigned from the agency and walked away from Cullen. A week of questioning herself and her decision, and the answer to what she was going to do after Cullen had come in the form of that phone call. Taking the information she'd gotten from her contact, she'd contacted Ashley and Cassie, asked them over for coffee, then proposed the operation she was currently conducting. Cassie had immediately called Director Breaker, and within the hour, he and his brother, Operations Commander of the Western Division, had been on her doorstep. From there, the operation had become her baby. She didn't appreciate Cullen's desire to take it away from her.
"I'm waiting on that answer."
His voice rumbled with demand.
"Why didn't you come to me if you suspected the Genetics Council was up to something?"
She shrugged with a tight, tension-filled movement. I didn't suspect crap, Cullen. A close friend of mine, a contact I've used when working with the underground, contacted me. He overheard a coyote and one of the other guides discussing the Genetics Council sending a team into the area to abduct a high-profile breed target, as well as placing double agents within the breed community being established here. I took that information to the Bureau, and Director Breaker gave me lead on the operation. That coyote and guide disappeared before enforcers could get to them, but we still have a chance to save their target. His eyes narrowed on her, brooding, and not in the least pleased.
How did you verify this information?
He demanded, suspicion flickering in his gaze.
For all you know, it could just be some story your contact concocted for you. You know exactly how unreliable information like that can be.
She shook her head, incredulity filling her now. I'm sure that's what you want me to believe, Cullen. She scoffed at the accusation. This wasn't some carefully designed fairy tale, I promise you that. Within days, the Bureau had taps on several known Council associates, and the information was verified and re-verified before we ever finalized the parameters of the operation. We've been trying to identify the Council breeds and the target the team is coming after. The targeted window of the attempt is within 2 to 4 weeks, and we're getting closer. I can feel it. The phone taps, as well as the listening devices she and Ashley managed to place in areas where suspected Council associates were talking in those clubs, had brought in several clues. Nothing concrete, nothing they could act on. It was more questions than answers, but they knew they were on the right track.
And the attack against you last week?
He bit out then, anger brewing in his eyes.
Did you consider that your status on this operation has been compromised? Or worse, they identified you as Louisa Cervez's rescuer?
Frustrated outrage filled his tone.
For God's sake, Chelsea, you should have never taken this assignment after you snatched that child from those coyotes. You needed to stay low for just a little while.
She'd considered that the operation might have been compromised. She, Ashley, and Cassie had actually discussed it several times. It wasn't possible, though. She knew she hadn't given herself away, and neither had anyone she was working with. As for being identified by Louisa's rescuer, that one she didn't worry about as much. Had it happened, Samara Cervez would have already had her executed, no doubt. Only the director, the operations commander, Ashley, Cassie, Drager, and Tobias are aware that it's even an operation. And I trust them as well as you trust Ranger. That attack had nothing to do with the operation, and it definitely doesn't have anything to do with Louisa, she argued calmly, refusing to let her rage and anger over that baby free. She wasn't going to let herself become angry, and she damned sure wasn't going to let him draw her into another of those fights where she was made to feel that every word she said only made her appear weaker.
Then why attack you?
Skepticism filled his voice and his expression.
Why else would a council coyote attack you? Your cover had to have been blown one way or the other. There's no other reason to come after you with a blade.
Her lips thinned at the certainty in his voice. Of course he believed every word that passed his lips. And once he decided he knew the answer, there was no convincing him otherwise without proof in black and white or in blood. His lack of faith in her abilities was enough to completely piss her off, even on a good day.
Raymond Martinez was my uncle,
she reminded him caustically.
He was working for the Genetics Council since he was a young man. Remember, Cullen? My whole family became targets once they knew we learned what he had been doing and unveiled many of his contacts.
He put a price on our heads himself when we helped the breeds gather that evidence. I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and one of them realized who I was. That simple. He didn't know whether to turn her over his knee and paddle her ass, or throw her over his shoulder, cart her to the bedroom, and fuck her until neither of them could move. The terrifying part was the fact that both options were working in his head at this point. She had herself convinced of the bullshit that fell from her lips. And it was bullshit. He knew it. The minute the words tumbled out, his newly awakening instincts reared up in furious denial.
"Nothing is ever that damn simple with the Genetics Council,"
he barked out, pointing a finger in her direction as he fought back the need to do a little abducting himself and locking her away for her own safety. Not to mention his sanity.
"And the breeds they control do not just attack because they deem the opportunity appropriate. It's carefully planned, and the target quickly executed. And the council didn't give a damn about Ray Martinez after his association with them was revealed."
Neither the Genetics Council nor their trainers, soldiers, or fanatical breeds operated that way. If they did, then it would have been far easier to bring the entire organization down a decade ago. Hell, Callan Lyons would have destroyed the 12 members controlling the council himself, rather than being forced to reveal the existence of the breeds if it were that easy. Chelsea was so damned stubborn, she refused to see that. "My status hasn't been compromised, nor has my identity as the person who rescued Louisa Cervez been revealed," she repeated, determination straightening her spine, even as he glared at her.
"It's not possible, Cullen. And if it had been, there would have been some warning, no matter how slight, before that attack."
His lips thinned as he fought back a curse. Stalking from the doorway to the back door, he stared out at the night for a moment to consider his options.
"Who's your contact?"
he asked, turning back to her and crossing his arms over his chest as he stared at her, determined to get the answer. He'd follow up on this himself, find out what the hell was going on, and make certain she wasn't endangered. For a moment, her eyes simply widened, shocked anger filling her gaze, just before she laughed mockingly and propped her hands on her hips, anger flushing her face.
"Really, Cullen? You think I'm that naive where you're concerned?"
"I know you far too well for that," she assured him.
She shook her head before pushing her fingers through her hair, gripping the strands at the back of her neck for a moment, then letting her hands fall to the back of a kitchen chair as she moved to it. Cullen watched her silently, gauging her determination. It didn't take him long to realize she was stubborn enough to refuse him the answers he needed at the moment.
"You know,"
she finally said, her voice trembling with the hurt and anger he could sense filling the room. "I really appreciate the concern and the need to protect me," she offered, her tone sincere. "But I left the agency for a reason. You take this from me, and I'll make damned sure you never do it again." His brow lifted in surprise.
"And you'll do that how?"
He'd be damned if he'd allow her to continue risking herself this way.
"I'll leave the nation if you do what I think you're getting ready to do."
Her shoulders squared, her eyes narrowing on him warningly.
"You have no influence with the breed underground on the East or West Coast, and I'm sure I'd have no problem whatsoever working in a covert capacity with them. Do this, and that's exactly what I'll do."
The breed underground in either area would be ecstatic if they acquired her, and he'd go crazy worrying about her, imagining her hurt, without help. And she wasn't bluffing. His sense of smell was sharper, his instincts stronger tonight than they'd ever been. If she were bluffing, he would have known it the second the words passed her lips. Pure determination filled her voice instead. And he knew just how stubborn she could get.
"Chelsea,"
he sighed, fighting to find a way to try to make her understand.
"We're the same as family."
"The hell we are,"
she snapped out, her anger exploding through the room now, intensifying with a force he couldn't have expected. Number one. She ticked off a single, graceful finger. We so are not related, no matter how many distant cousins you marry. Number two. She ticked off another finger. My family members do not shove their tongues halfway down my throat every chance they get. You can take those arguments and kiss my ass, Cullen Maverick, because there's not a chance in hell I'm letting you direct my life for me. Not now. Not ever. Disgust filled her expression. You can leave now. Right now. Because I'll be damned if I'm not finished with you and this argument. She was what? Something snapped through his senses. She was finished with him and their argument? The hell, she said. Incredulity flared through him. Never in all the years they'd worked together had she attempted to blow him off or turn her back on him during one of their confrontations. And he wasn't about to let her get away with it now. The careful control exploded. Suddenly, his sense of smell was magnified tenfold, and it wasn't just anger he could scent pouring from the woman determined to drive him past insanity. Beneath the feminine fury and emotional distress was the sweet, hot scent of female challenge and arousal. Strong and determined, she'd found a way to push past the guards in place that had kept the animal sleeping inside him and awakened him with a vengeance. The dark dominance Cullen had always kept carefully in control had been strained where she was concerned for years, with each confrontation they had. The few times she had actually challenged him, it had jerked at the leash he kept around it and had threatened to come to full consciousness. And now it awakened with a vengeance. The animal, already pacing restlessly, leapt past his control now, determined to meet her challenge and to show her the consequences of making it. He'd be damned if she would face this danger alone. It was bad enough that she'd already deliberately courted it, but if she thought she could push him away from her now, order him from her, then by God, he was about to show her the error of her ways. Chapter 8. From Graham's Journal, Recessed Primal Genetics and Mating Heat. The recessed primal breed in mating heat is like an animal with a thorn stuck in his paw, and he'll bite the head off anyone daring to attempt to remove the object of his pain. Cullen had always wondered how an active breed felt, having both animal and human genetics merged inside them, and working as one. There were times he'd actually imagined living with all his instincts intact. This feeling was like nothing he'd ever imagined, though. One arm went around Chelsea's waist as she dared to turn her back on him, as though he were of no consequence, as though he weren't man enough, breed enough, to pull her anger into submission with his touch. She was waiting for him. As though the anger and pride burning in her spilled into the arousal simmering just beneath the surface. She didn't fight him. The scent of her hunger speared through his senses instead, igniting what was already a combustible need burning through him. She was already reaching for him as his lips ground over hers, parted them, and his tongue thrust into the sweet depths he found there. The taste of her kiss was hotter, sweeter than he remembered, burning through him like a flame. As her arms went around his neck, Cullen pulled her closer, reveling in the way her body arched to him, in the low feminine groan of hunger and pleasure that filled the air around him. He'd dreamed of that sound while he'd been away, ached for it, ached for her. The taste of her, the feel of her in his arms, against his body, made him more desperate, wilder to take her. Beneath his jeans, his already engorged cock swelled thicker, harder, his balls aching with the need for release. The need to fuck her, to bury inside her balls deep, was a fever searing his senses. Never had he needed a woman with the desperation he needed this one. And the knowledge that his hunger for her had only been growing over the past 4 years fed that need. God knew he'd tried to stay away from her, to ensure she was protected, even from him. Especially from this wild, unbidden hunger he'd always fought to control. A hunger he had no idea if he could control once he loosed it.